I'd like to call to order this April 27th, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to decisions of ZBA must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please turn them off at this time and stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time to come together today to do the business of our city. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being allowed to live here and to work here and to, Lord, just to experience all the things that come with being here in Savannah. Lord, I ask you to bless this meeting, give us wisdom to guide this, the decisions of the city. And Lord, I pray that you bless the families and marriages of Savannah and Chatham County and strengthen them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, we have a request for item to be withdrawn from the final agenda. It's a variance request for 817 East 70th Street. File number 23-000827 for a parking reduction. Do I hear a motion for withdrawal?
Motion.
All right. Motion by Mr. Condon and it's seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Condon?
Aye.
Mr. Turner?
Aye.
Mrs. Jones?
Aye.
All right, motion passes, and that item will be withdrawn. Next, we have the approval of the minutes from the March 23rd, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Plunk and a second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Condon?
Aye.
Mr. Turner?
Aye.
Mrs. Jones?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes and the minutes are approved. All right. Under old business, we're going to hear the petition of 1702 East 34th Street. This is a variance to increase daycare size 23-000976.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item was continued from the March 25th regular meeting. The petitioner was seeking to increase the size of a capacity of an existing daycare from 6 children to 12. The item was continued so that the applicant could engage her neighbors and get some feedback from them, which is attached to our agenda in the form of a number of letters of support. When this item was heard, I mentioned that it had been previously applied for the same variance in 2019. At that time, the board denied the petition. The findings at that time included concerns about the potential impacts on adjacent properties related to traffic, noise, and parking, which I think probably is some of the reason that the board at this point asked the petitioner to make those inquiries to the neighboring residents. This is the subject property at 1702 East 34th Street. It's east of B Road and it's approximately 5,100 square feet in size. The lot is, the structure is 955 square feet. And staff's previous review of the criteria for variance, it was found that the requested variance would allow the use to intensify beyond that which is typical for a traditional residential neighborhood, and the potential for up to 12 vehicles twice per day could potentially be a nuisance at the site. Let me show you also. Street views of the property of the area around the home, which is located here on 34th Street. This is the place where the existing daycare is. You can see that the applicant has installed a drop-off for safe pickup and drop-off for the children on the site. We did find that a variance is not necessary for the reasonable use of the building and structure. The intent of home daycares and the maximum number of children being six is to fit in a residential situation where the primary uses around the property are residential in nature. Child care centers, which allow more than six children, are typically found in more commercial or mixed-use areas. I mentioned that Ms. Baker did reach out to her neighbors, and she provided a number of signatures. Of support, as well as some individual letters of support regarding her business and how it's been a benefit to the neighborhood. Just to recap, I think what the board's position was at the previous meeting, you know, staff reviewed this from the standpoint of the variance criteria. Recommended denial. I think the board's intent was for the applicant, Ms. Baker, to engage her neighbors and bring that testimony to you today. I think she's here to speak to that. But I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions for staff?
And
go ahead, Ms. Jones.
The parking on the map that you were showing. No, not that one.
Let me go back.
That's an additional, yes.
In this area? Mm-hmm. So this area, and let me show you, I can probably show you a little bit better on this other map. But there is some property adjacent to the subject property, which is city right-of-way, and that's this area here. So the subject parcel is highlighted. This area is unopened right-of-way, or open right-of-way that is unused. All this area back here is city-owned property. So I'm sure this property is used by neighbors in the area for additional overflow parking.
So she would be able to, parents coming in would be able to park there?
Well, I don't know if they do that now. She does have a drop-off, a semicircular driveway in her front yard. I would presume that that's the primary pickup and drop-off area. This area, although, you know, technically not a parking area, and, you know, technically because it's city property, you shouldn't be parking there. But if it's not if it's not blocking access to the rear, but the property back here, people probably use it for parking.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward? Thank you, Mr. Lawson. We will, before we give testimony, if anybody that's going to speak here today or give testimony, if you will, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth.
I do solemnly swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
All right.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I'm Erica Baker, and I am the child care provider of the home, and I'm here to follow up to see if you all will allow me to increase the child care. And this is Mrs. Corinthia. She's one of my neighbors. She's here for support. And this is one of my parents. She used to live in the neighborhood. I watch her kids. So they can speak if you allow them to.
Okay, I can go first. Unless you want to go. Okay. So, hi, everyone doing? Good morning. Miss Erica, I have known her for years. I took both of my children. Okay, my name is Kayla Bing, B-I-N-G, what a B. So, I have been sending my kids to her daycare since they both been born. I have one that's 14 and one that is 6 years old now. I'm also a teacher myself, so I kind of, you know, understand for the time of what she is trying to do, and especially increasing in the size of her daycare. I feel like, you know, we always have these gray areas with, you know, being that it is a residential area. And then I understand what he was saying about the parking. But what normally what parents do and what I used to do in the past, we're dropping our children off, picking our children up. If she has an event, we might stay for maybe no longer than an hour. It might be a situation where if I need to stop by to drop something off for one of my kids, I'll do that. Of course, there's a big different age gap, so they both went different times. So I've seen a lot of different changes that she has made. And as we all are humans, we all know to try to grow from different things. That's what I learned as a teacher for me teaching. So I feel like with her, this daycare, she needs just to kind of move up. We had this COVID situation, and it kind of set a lot of us back. So with her moving, the increasing the size of the daycare, I feel like it'd be a better opportunity for her and for her living and for the children. I have never seen the children, you know, her get into it with none of the parents. The parents has always been, you know, she's been a loving home daycare, and that's what we need a lot. We need a lot of daycares that's kind of in the area where parents can get to the daycares. A lot of people don't have transportation. They can't be able to afford to get transportation to get to somewhere in the area. So I think it'll be best that, you know, y'all could give her the approval to go up to increase the size of the daycare. She deserves it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Corinthia McCoy Thompson. I presently live in the neighborhood. I'm at 1602 East 34th Street, which is exactly one block from where her daycare is. I've lived there now for about 27 years. And for the longest, I didn't even know her daycare was there. It's just that quietness operated just like that. We never had any infractions in the neighborhood about any incidents, any disturbances or anything there. And also there's an apartment complex around the corner. A lot of people don't even know it's there. And most of the traffic that we have actually come from those apartments. I live on the corner, and the traffic now is almost next to none. It's a very, you know, it's not a lot of traffic there because people move in and out from the apartment. But having a grandson myself, and occasionally he comes to visit and I need daycare, and I can just, you know, ask her for a drop in for a couple of hours or something while I take care of some business, go to a funeral or something of that nature. And she's very accommodating and nice, clean. And having been a daycare owner myself, I realized exactly what she's doing because I had a daycare on that corner years back myself, and it was, you know, it's very needed in the neighborhood, and she just served as an asset to the community, and we welcome her, and we hope that you all give her the opportunity to increase. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you so much. All right, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes. I'm actually familiar with this location and not specifically with the daycare, but the location. And I have, having worked down in that neighborhood, there's very little traffic. What the folks have said is absolutely true. There's very little traffic there. I never saw a situation. We actually worked on a house that was directly across from this house, and I never saw a situation where there was any amount of traffic, or even when people are coming and going and dropping, you know, children off and so on and so forth. And we were there the whole day. So it appears to me that the applicant is really running a good business and has a good hold on what her requirements are as a good neighbor also. So just wanted to make that comment.
You were there for the whole day for over a period of time?
Yeah, over a period of a couple of weeks.
Okay. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No further comment.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I so move that we approve.
Second.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the petition for a variance, and Mr. Turner has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear the petition for variance for 213 West 39th Street, 23-000986.
Agenda. Hold on one moment, please. All right, sorry for that setback. This is an item for a property located at 213 West 39th Street. And by the way, good morning, board members, Melissa Lito, MPC staff. The petitioner is requesting to renovate an abandoned home. This is the picture of the existing building currently at 213 West 39th Street. A duplex would be required. They are requesting to have a duplex. A duplex would be required to provide two parking spaces based on NUZOs in 2019. As the building was constructed in 1920, there are no off-street parking spaces on site. Since the applicant is requesting duplex use, one parking space is required, is required for the additional unit. As you can see, there is somebody parking here on the side, but it's actually very tight in that area. So I think it was intended to have like your trash put there and stored there and then pulled out on trash day. And this is actually where the car is at, is split between the subject property and their adjacent property setback property lines. So it's not really illegal. Parking space. The subject parcel meets the minimum lot width and minimum lot area per unit within the TN2 zoning classification. Some variance criteria I want to highlight. The existing house is currently vacant, but was historically used as a duplex. The neighborhood was developed prior to the establishment of the TN2 traditional neighborhood district through NUZO in 2019. The properties on the one block radius also appear to be duplexes. And this is a map that the applicant provided, and I went to site visits to confirm that this is a subject property. There is no lane on this part, on this subject block. And there are a series of duplexes as well as a triplex right across the street. The property is the one block in one block radius also appears to be duplexes and triplexes, with about half of them being on equally narrow 30-foot lot widths. The subject block does not have a lane, as I mentioned, and the West 39th Street on-street parking is utilized except for a double lot on the corner, which is right here, that has an actual driveway. The subject property does not have room for off-street parking. The side yard setbacks on either side of the structure are too narrow. The parking requirements for a duplex are one off-street parking space per unit. One parking space is grandfathered in for the lot to use as if it operates as a single family dwelling. But if the lot is operated as a duplex, it would require a variance for the second parking space, as it cannot physically accommodate off-street parking. And that is why we are here today. Oh, I just wanted to mention that here is the subject property. If you go right down to the corner on Barnard, there are two bus stops for CAT. The closest one here is 352 feet from the subject property. And then the second one is 527 feet from the subject property. I also wanted to indicate the DOT mapping. Right over here in the red is the subject block. And the closest DOT is 825 feet for the stop on the corner of Whitaker and 40th Street. And staff conducted a parking study for the surrounding areas around the subject property. And the parking analysis indicates that if the subject parcel becomes a duplex, there will be a surplus of 7 on-street parking spaces within the subject block, as there are 13 on each side, and the block that's north on 39th Street, which is right here, actually has an alley, and they have access to parking. Some of them choose to park on 39th Street. This is the further analysis of peak demand. And then I wanted to go through some criteria. Let's see. The ordinance requires 1 parking space per unit for a duplex use. None of the homes in this block have off-street parking, yet the majority are duplexes except for the double lot in the corner of Barnard and West 39th Street. Adding an extra unit to the subject property is not going to be injurious to the neighborhood. The south side of West 39th Street, without a lane, currently has 13 on-street parking spaces for 8 out of 10 properties that do not have off-street parking. The north side of West 39th, which I was showing you, street has a lane for parking and currently has 13 on-street parking spaces. This property is the same size as nearly every other property on the subject block. Whether they are being used for single family or duplex dwellings, there is no lane access and no room for off-street parking in the front yards. The development pattern historically has been 30-foot lots with a variety of single-family duplexes and triplexes that utilize on-street parking. The addition of a second dwelling unit may add value to the property. The property has been abandoned sometime after 2007, prior to Savannah's new code in 2019. The literal interpretation of the regulations would not deny the applicant their rights, as it can still operate as a single family home. Just wanted to note that. But similar laws elsewhere in the TN2 zoning district would also experience the same restrictions as this lot is experiencing, requiring 1 parking space per unit. Staff recommendation based on the development pattern, parking study, and variance criteria recommends approval of the requested variance. Oh, only 1 variance, sorry. That was an error for the S.
So, Mrs. Leto, I believe you said, I just want to be clear, the other duplexes don't have off-street parking, the ones that are already in operation? The ones in the same block?
Correct. None, because there is no lane and there is no driveway. The only one that has a driveway is, let me show you, is that double lot.
Can you go back up to that other picture? I wanted to.
Which one?
The one with the where it shows duplexes and triplex.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's this, and then you've got 1, 2, you've got 4 other ones in the same block.
So the one right directly on the corner of 39th and Barnard, theirs is a double lot, which is 60-foot lot
right.
in width, and they do have a driveway. But that's the only one that offers a driveway. There is no lane. There's no room for it. They would have to basically go right into the front yard, which is not allowed through historic preservation guidelines.
Are there any questions for staff?
But as it stands now, when it was a single dwelling, they had one parking space.
They never had. I mean, they have that opening, which does have an access that can be accessed through a vehicle, but at this point, it's not a legal measurement of what a driveway should be. and it's extremely tight. And then when you look at the property lines, if this indicates anything, but the property line here to this adjacent property line is split in the middle of that driveway. So it's technically not anyone's driveway.
Okay.
And it couldn't be either.
Because I was going to say that possibly two cars go up in the one driveway.
I think if you drove between the houses, you wouldn't be able to open the doors.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff?
I do, please.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Has the Historic Review Board had any input in this?
There are no exterior alterations. We just want to remedy the issues of anything going on that would require them to do the There's no exterior alterations.
She is correct. The petitioner, I spoke with Historic Preservation Department, and they have no record of a COA or being requested, and that is for the reason why.
And it's not required.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you.
The applicant, Stephanie Bach, is here to present as well.
Mrs. Bach, please come forward.
I'm technologically challenged. I apologize. The one with the duplex and stuff. See what you're doing. All right. I just wanted to, the last question that was asked the staff about the amount of duplexes. I just wanted to point out that on the other side, all these houses here have access to the lane and do have off-street parking. That's why the parking study showed that there's a surplus on the street is because across the way here, they all have off-street parking on the other side. And most of the ones over here do as well. The applicant actually renovated this duplex over on this side, and we provided two off-street parking spaces there. We would provide it here if we had any ability to access that. Was there any questions that staff had of me?
Any questions for the petitioner? No, ma'am.
I do have examples of the floor plans of what we're going to do with this place should we get the variance, and if anybody is interested.
I don't think it's really will have any. Do any of y'all want to see the floor plans? Will it affect your decision?
You had asked if we had a COA. I have floor plans showing we aren't altering the outside, just the inside, and that just if you had curiosity. I know it doesn't have any bearing on a parking variance.
Okay. Thank you so much. This time we'll enter into, I didn't ask for public comment. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And if you're online, please use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you. Okay. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Okay. Will someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
All right.
Second.
Mr. Turner has made a motion to grant the parking variance, and it's been seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear the variance request for 1806 Live Oak Street, request to the minimum lot width and minimum lot area to subdivide one parcel into four parcels, 22-005897.
All right, thank you. Melissa Lito again, MPC staff. This item is for 1806 Live Oak. The front picture of this is the existing lot, 190 feet of frontage and 90 feet in depth. And the variance requests. Are written on their proposed plat. 500 square foot lot area variance from the 5,000 square foot minimum for three lots. So it would be these one, two, and three that are going for a 500 square foot lot area variance. And then the fourth parcel is requesting a 950 square foot lot variance from the 5,000 square foot lot minimum for that one lot. And also that one lot is requesting a 5 foot lot width variance from the 50 foot lot width minimum, as it is currently 40, they're proposing to have a 45 foot width where 50 feet is required in the zoning district of RSF 5. The subject property is located within the RSF 5 zoning district and also the Live Oak neighborhood. The parcel contains approximately, as I mentioned, 109 feet of frontage along East 34th Street with a 90-foot depth with access to East 34th Lane to the rear of the parcels. The RSF 5 zoning district has a minimum lot width of 50 feet and a minimum lot area of 5,000 square feet. The subject parcel in the RSF 5 zoning district would be allowed by right to construct three parcels without the need of variances. Parcel is a corner lot that is currently vacant. There was once a single family residence that was constructed facing Live Oak Street. The residence has since been demolished and the subject lot has kept the 1806 Live Oak Street address. The proposed subdivision, if approved, would result in four total residential lots. Three lots would be 50 by 90 and the fourth lot would be 45 by 90. The applicant hand-mailed a neighborhood meeting notice to all residents within 300-foot radius for a Thursday, April 20th at 4 p.m. on-site neighborhood meeting. I attended it. There was four residents that also attended it, including the president of the Live Oak Neighborhood Association. The applicant showed a proposed site plan such as this, showing the driveways, the setbacks, the depth of the and length and frontage of the parcels. The president of the Live Oak Neighborhood Association, as well as two others in attendance, were in favor and of the variance request. But at this time, staff has not received an official letter from the Neighborhood Association yet. However, the president is in attendance here today, so she may speak as a public comment. So this is the site plan for four single-family dwelling units with driveway access. And then they provided a rendering of the four single-family homes. Regarding some criteria, the five variance requests will change the development pattern of larger lots in the RSF 5 zoning district. However, it will add four additional houses for future property owners in the city of Savannah where housing is needed. The lot has been vacant for many years. There is a special circumstance. Just want to show you. So, when reviewing the neighboring area, this parcel here, right across the street from the subject parcel, is in the RSF 5 zoning district as well, but the position of their property lines have been pushed closer to the right-of-way, which allows them to have a 100-foot depth of parcel. Whereas the subject parcel has a 90-foot lot depth, and they have approximately over a 20-foot right-of-way, which could be that to allow for a 100-foot lot depth, this would lessen the amount of lot area variances required. And so I just wanted to recognize that as some kind of special. And let me bring you to The applicant is attempting to create four parcels from one parcel that has not been utilized in many years and has been left vacant. Please note that the applicant could have three parcels without the need for the requested variances, but the fourth parcel would be in keeping with the pattern. The addition of one parcel may add value to the construction of the dwellings and allow for an additional single-family home to be included in the Live Oak neighborhood. The neighboring development pattern in the area consists of larger lots that are in compliance with the regulations of the RSF5 zoning district for minimum lot width and lot area. Any person wanting to subdivide would have to go through the same variance requests if they did not meet the minimum 50-foot lot width and minimum 5,000 square foot lot area. Building three single family homes with more than 5,000 square feet in size per lot is reasonable and conforms within the RSF zoning classification. Based on the variance criteria, staff recommends denial of the following variances. We have the applicant Robert McCorkle here to present as well. If you have any questions for me.
Are there any questions for staff?
You can you speak to the letters that you received?
We received one letter of support so far, and then the letter from Alderman Dietrich was in response to the this item was continued from March, and so his letter was based on the March application prior to the neighborhood meeting, and we haven't received any contact from him. I know the applicant has tried to reach out to him several times.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you very much.
That's it. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Robert McCorkle from law firm McCorkle Johnson McCoy here on behalf of the petitioner. Thank you to Melissa for making a thorough presentation of the situation, what the variances that we're asking for today. We've been at this a long time, since August of last year when they originally made the first application for this, which has never been heard until today. First, I want to give you a little bit of the lay of the land, just so everybody is familiar exactly where we're talking about. This is the subject property here, 34th Street. This is Live Oak that runs this way. It's actually 195 feet. If you were looking at Sage's, it says 151 feet, it's just wrong. The lot's 195 feet wide, which is a very unusual circumstance for a lot in this neighborhood to be this size, to be that size. And it's 90 feet deep on Live Oak. The reason it's 195 feet wide is the same reason we talk about on all of these variances when we come up to request them, which is the original lot sizes in the neighborhood were 30 feet wide. And so it's actually six original city lots plus a half of another lot, which is how we get to the 195 feet. It had a single home on it previously, which actually faced Live Oak instead of 34th Street. So all of the remainder of that 195 feet was essentially backyard of the house that was originally there. Another, this is a picture of the lot as it currently sits. As Melissa mentioned, the house has been cleared. Again, 195 feet of frontage in this direction. And another interesting thing about it is across the street, the houses on the other side of the street actually all face 33rd. So everything across the street from these lots is the rear of the houses across the street. So you have a lot of kind of backyards and sheds and fences and landscaping and other things across, but they don't actually face any houses directly across the street. They will be looking at what we're building or facing what we're building, just to give you that heads up. And then as you move down the street, I'm just showing these pictures to show that the houses are relatively close together, regardless of the width of the side, the width of the lots, which most of the frontage on this particular side of this block is 60 feet in width. The houses are relatively close together. At the end of the street, on the other end, the houses actually face away from 34th Street, and those lots are only 45 feet wide, which would be consistent with the one lot width variance that we're asking for. So this is on the same block, but it's down at the end of the street. When we originally applied, Again, we asked for 6 lots to be created onto the property. We were trying to recreate the original 30-foot lots and put 6 houses there. The theory was that there are numerous 30-foot lots in the area, particularly directly across the street from this. I'm going to go back up to this picture. All of these lots in yellow, all the smaller lots are all 35 feet. And then you've got some basically 40-foot lots on the corner here. Again, you've got 2 45-foot lots down here and about a 45-foot lot directly behind us. The green line indicates where the zoning line is for this property. This is RSF5, which is kind of everything over to the east over here in a wide swath, but it kind of cuts a little knife into this part, which is just interesting because if we were in TR2, if we were directly across the street from where our houses are, or if we were 2 blocks to the left, or if we were 2 blocks to the south, what we're proposing would all be permitted. And that was kind of the theory of applying for the original 6 houses. Through that process, originally we heard from the neighbors. They did not want 30-foot lots on the street, and they believed that the size of those lots would be inconsistent with the neighborhood. They did not want 20-foot houses on 30-foot lots. And so hearing and listening to those concerns and also speaking to Alderman Leggett, we went back to the drawing board and revised the plan to have 4 lots. And as Melissa mentioned, what we're asking for is 4 lots on the property, 3 that would be 50-foot wide and 1 that would be 45 feet wide. All of that combines into 5 variances. And I know that 5 variances sounds like a lot of variances. This isn't one project we're building. It's not one house we're building. It's 4 houses. So it's really 2 variances on 1 lot and just 1 variance on the other 3 lots. And I'm going to address the variances separately. As Melissa mentioned, there is a special condition that exists on this block and the block to the east of this that makes it, I think, at least as lot area, which we'll talk about first, to be a very reasonable request on the lot area variances. This block, unlike the blocks adjacent, as you can see here, is 90 feet wide in depth. And these are 100, and these are 100, and everything else above it and to the side of it and this way are all 100. And then these blocks, for a couple of block radius, are only 90 feet deep. What's interesting about it is, and I don't think I have a picture of it, although you can see it in the survey, when you're standing out on the street, the curbs are the same. So the curb depths are equal. So if I'm standing on the corner here looking across 34th Street, the curbs and the yards align. And I say all that to say that, as Melissa pointed out, the houses on the next block have the exact same size yard as these houses have as far as depth is concerned. The difference is that somewhere in there, there is an invisible line where the right-of-way begins, and they only have 8 feet of right-of-way making up part of their front yard, and we have 20 feet of right-of-way making up part of our front yard. And so because of that, even the 3 lots that we are doing at 50 feet, which is the design standard, we need a lot area variance because our lots are only 90 feet deep because we have 20 feet of right-of-way in our front yard in the grass. And so I say all that to say I do believe it is a particular condition, a special condition, as mentioned by staff, and I do believe that these variances are warranted in this particular situation because 50 feet does meet the design standard for the width, and except for the strange kind of depth of right-of-way on this particular block, we will not be requesting those variances. I would also make the note that I do not believe that any human being could perceive the difference in lot area between our lots and any other lot because, again, the lot size, the yard size, the curbing is all exactly the same as the 100-foot lots. We are just talking about something that's a difference between how wide the right-of-way is that happens to be in you as part of your front yard. So I don't think anybody could perceive any of these lot area variances. The second variance we're requesting is the lot width on the singular lot, which is here, which is 45 feet. The particular situation of this lot itself as a whole is that it's 195 feet wide, which is an extremely long lot. At 50-foot wide lots, which is what's required, we'd have 150 feet, and we'd be left with 35 feet additional. And so, you know, we're really, ultimately, we're 5 feet short, 45 feet additional, sorry. We're ultimately 5 feet short of having a wide enough lot to have the 4 lots. So it'd be 200, if we were 200 feet wide instead of 195 feet wide, we could do this without having to have a lot width variance. I would also proffer to you that I don't believe a human being can drive by and tell the difference between a 45-foot lot and a 50-foot lot. And what we're proposing as far as houses are concerned, the houses are all the same width. The driveways are the same. We're providing off-street parking for all of these properties, so we're going to have driveways. We're not intending on putting more cars out into the street to the extent that's even a problem here. But when you look at this picture or you look at the elevations of what will be constructed, I don't think any person could possibly look at it and tell that we actually have a five-foot variance on one of the lots. I also note that there is a 10-foot right-of-way into the grass in the yard over here on Live Oak as well, which also adds to the width of those lots, which, again, make it, I believe, imperceivable. Again, across the street, this would be permitted a block to the west, two blocks south. This would all be permitted. But in this particular location, this is what these variances are what we're required to ask for. I want to make note my client, Rayfield Reeves, has built a lot of infill quality construction houses in the city. I've been before y'all on variances for him in the past and for other clients of mine. As y'all know, we have about a 9,500 unit housing shortage in the city of Savannah. There are a lot of good folks out there who are going out into these city blocks and building houses and providing single family residences for people. These houses are intended to be sold and occupied by owners. Obviously, if somebody decides to rent them after they buy them from my client, then we can't stop them from doing that. But the intent is for him to sell them. These are just some examples of infill houses on Duffy and 38th and on Whitaker and other places that he has built. And you can see that, you know, what he's building is consistent with the neighborhood. They're quality houses. They're good-looking houses. And we intend to do the same thing here. After our conversation, my conversation with Dietrich originally, he had asked us to have an additional meeting with the members, of the neighborhood. I was concerned that there was some confusion about what we were actually asking for, since we had originally asked for six and we had a lot of objection, and now we had lowered it down to four, and we're only really asking for a five-foot singular lot width variance. And so we sent out notices to everyone within 300 feet, which was 70-something residences. In addition to that, I enveloped up handwritten copies, and we dropped them in the mailboxes of every single person on the block face, as well as all the block faces surrounding us in case we had renters that did not get the mail when we sent it to the tax addresses. So we were trying to make sure that the people that are actually living in the houses also got notice. At that meeting, we had three neighbors that came of all the notices we sent out. My impression from the meeting was that everybody was pleased with what we were doing and pleased with the housing was going to be there, although I know two of them are here today, so they certainly may say something different. But I believe that at the meeting, we answered the questions that were asked and satisfied folks that what we were doing was going to be a quality product and something that was good for the neighborhood. So with that, I just say that, you know, we've tried to work through this process and do what we believe is minimal under the circumstances. The simple question that ends up being before you is, can we build three houses on this property or can we build four houses on this property? The reality is if we only build three houses, the houses are going to be larger. The lots will be larger than what is on the street, and the houses will be larger and more expensive than what's going to be constructed there due to the size of the larger lots. I believe that what we're proposing with three 50-foot wide lots and a 45-foot wide lot, that these houses will fit with a neighborhood, they will be a quality product, and they will add to the area and, again, not force more off-street parking into the street. We do not believe that the lot area variances we are asking for will be perceivable by anyone. We do not believe that due to the size of the houses and the setbacks of the 45-foot singular lot will be visible or noticeable to anyone. There are two 45-foot lots on the street, which we believe is consistent. So with all of that, we believe that the project itself is positive and that we've worked with the neighborhood to come up with a solution that is a good one with the minimum variances we can ask for to add an additional home onto this oddly long lot. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions and may have.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant? Mr. Cotton.
Good morning, Mr. McCorkle.
Good morning.
Have you had discussions with Dietrich since this?
I have not spoken with him since I tried to reach out to him in advance of the meeting. I emailed him and sent him a copy of the notice, and I called him about it. I have not been able to reach him. I've not been able to speak to him since we had the meeting. So I don't know whether he still objects or doesn't, although I do know the Neighborhood Association president's here.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you. Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you will, state your name for the record, please.
My name is Robert Wilson. I live at 1807 Live Oak Street, right across the street from it. I noticed when they have been building these houses, those 90-foot, they've been putting apartment garages behind them. So in the future, I think instead of having four lots, they will have eight families moving in. Okay? And that will make the neighborhood more congested. Okay? I'm against them, you giving him a variance, okay? And just have three lots. Okay? And they can put the 15 foot on each of the other lots. Okay? And make the home larger. You know, maybe we won't have, you know, it won't be so congested. Yeah. I've been in the neighborhood for almost 50 years now. Yeah. And I have seen the difference, you know, not only in demographic and in the congestion in the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, will you please come forward?
May I respond to that comment?
Yes, I was going to ask you anyway.
The zoning district is RSF-5, and within the RSF districts, they have to have a 200% lot area in order to have an accessory dwelling unit. So they would not be able, they could have a detached garage or an accessory building, but not another dwelling unit.
Thank you.
I'm Mary Ann Goydish. I live on the corner of Victory and Cedar, and I know the area we're talking about somewhat because I drive down on Live Oak. Mr. McCorkle has presented plans that request over a 10% variance in lot size. He mentions the fact that on 33rd, 34th, and all around the neighborhood, and I don't know how to use this machine or I would show you the map with the 30-foot. All those houses are single-family workman cottages houses. Thank you. You can see they're all, I'm not touching, I delete 6,000, okay, 6,000 emails with one flick. They all are workman cottages, single-family front porches, and if you drive by, people sit on their front porch. Mrs. Johnson is suffering from sacroiliac, which is why she asked me to speak, and I'm not as familiar, but we have driven around several times. There are two-story houses on 33rd Street. That's it. One, a old house that has been renovated, and one is a new house, which also has a garage apartment. In essence, these new houses with their fences will form almost an isolated gated community, which is destructive to the ambivalence of this area. I live in an area that has gentrified, and it has been wonderful. It has been a long time, but people stay within the ambivalence of the area. There are some new houses built close by, but they are within the character of the area. When I asked Mr. McCorkle, why could he not do two single-family houses and a duplex in the center, which would allow him four houses with minimum? He said it would require a variance. And he comes here today and asks for five variances. Yeah, I'm not an architect. I look at my houses, I walk my dogs, and I like to look at houses so I know what to do with mine. It seems to me that this is plopping down an expensive community, disjointed from its neighbors, and it will open up the, all right, let's call it the rape of that area, because every single little large plot or two plots will be wrapped together, and another house we would put up with more variances. And yes, we in Savannah need housing, but we don't have to knock down good, we don't have to ruin neighborhoods to bring in money. Questions?
No questions.
Okay.
Any other members of the public that would like to speak? If you will, raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you.
May I comment on that?
Go ahead.
Just one thing, that this parcel is located in the RSF5 zoning district, and duplexes are not allowed permitted use.
Thank you. Is the live vote president? Okay, that was the, she was speaking for her because she's got some health issues.
Can I ask her a question?
Yeah, if you like to.
May I ask you a question? So I just want to make sure we're clear on this. So acting as the president, you stay right where you are, acting as the president of the Live Oak Association, you are not in favor of this. Am I correct? Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Would you like to respond to public comment?
Yes, Robert McCorkle again on behalf of the petitioner. Responding to each one of them specifically, as Melissa mentioned, there are no accessory dwelling units allowed in this, so there's not going to be any additional apartments built into the property. There's also no duplexes allowed, so we can't put two units on a 65-foot lot ultimately end up with the same amount of units on the property. So that's not an option. It's not going to turn into eight houses instead of four houses. We do not believe that the difference between having three houses and four houses on this property is going to add to the congestion of the neighborhood. We're talking about a single family. We're talking maybe two cars. Additionally, we have off-street parking that will park two cars for every house. So there shouldn't be any congestion added to the neighborhood or to the specific street. And as far as the last one, I mean, to say that building four houses into the neighborhood, I mean, the house immediately next door has a second story on the side closest to the houses that we're building. So this is the house immediately next door. So it will be consistent with the height of what we're building immediately next door. But to say that adding four houses into this neighborhood is a rape of the area or of the community, I believe is, I mean, new housing is good. Not having empty lots in the middle of neighborhoods is good. Having houses that are consistent in size and footprint of the remainder of the neighborhood, I do believe is good. I think that if we have three houses instead of four houses, we're just going to end up with larger, more expensive houses, which part of what I heard was the concern that the houses are going to be expensive and not consistent with the neighborhood. And I think if we are forced to have 65-foot lots in an area that is a 50-foot lot area, then we're going to end up with larger, more expensive houses, which is just going to exacerbate the problem of the concern that was raised. I'm a little surprised by the association comment. That was not consistent with what I thought was our previous conversations. But regardless, we notified over 70 people of a meeting. I hand delivered to every single person around. We had three individuals show up for that meeting. I have not received a single email or been contacted by a single other individual other than the third person who was at that meeting, who was in support, who lives diagonally across the street for this and is supportive of what we're doing. And so we've worked very hard to come up with a plan that we believe is consistent with the neighborhood, that responds to the concerns of the neighbors, all of which have been expressed to us. And we would, again, due to the specific strange conditions that affect this block and this lot, ask for your approval of the variances so that we can move forward with what we think is a great project.
Thank you very much.
Are there letters of approval from any of the neighbors?
Letters of approval?
Yeah.
Just one.
It was just one.
So we'll enter into board discussion. I'd like to start just saying that special condition where their right of way is 20 feet. I mean, that's a big deal. If it wasn't for that, this would be a whole lot different. And I don't see any problem with the variances that they're requesting. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Not right now, no.
Mr. Condon?
My concern really is that the Neighborhood Association and the aldermen are not in support of four houses on that lot. That's my primary concern.
Now, I thought that the alderman wasn't in support of six houses. I didn't hear that he also did not want four.
Yeah, he would like three.
Okay.
Yeah, the letter he wrote says that he would like three. So that's my concern. I think that taking into account this is a unique block. That area does have large housing stock. And, you know, as a result of that, I think that we really do have to take into consideration the opinion of the MPC and the neighbors. And without sounding impolite in saying this, you know, having a neighborhood meeting during the week at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is not necessarily conducive to getting an audience. So I think that the president of the Neighborhood Association is in attendance, and I know that the alderman wrote a letter on purpose, you know, expressing his concern about the number of houses and his desire to have, in conjunction with the Neighborhood Association, for there to be three houses.
Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just that if the developer was to put three houses on that lot, it wouldn't require any variance, and those houses would probably still be two-story houses and match at least somewhat to the houses that they're suggesting now, only larger. So my concern is that if the three houses is the route that gets chosen, that they will be even more inconsistent with the neighborhood than what it would be if it was four.
Mrs. Jones?
I can agree with what has been said, because the density in the neighborhoods are getting to be too much, the traffic and everything. So I can concur with three, because four would be probably overbearing. And I'm not sure whether the president, I think they said that they would go with three.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we support the opinion of the MPC and reject the application for the five variances at 1806 Live Oak Street.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to deny the request for variances. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Nay.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 202 East 38th, a variance to reduce the rear yard setback to construct a carriage house, 23-001576.
Good morning. This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 202 East 38th Street. The applicant is requesting to reduce the minimum rear yard setback from 20 feet to 5 feet to construct a two-story carriage house connected to the primary residence on the property located at 202 East 38th Street. A little bit of context is that the design was initially heard by the Historic Preservation Commission on August 24th and approved At the time, the applicant was not aware they required a variance. So a variance recommendation request was applied for, and the Historic Preservation Commission approved that recommendation request on March 22nd, 2023. As for the reason that this is before you, the carriage house is proposed to be connected to the primary residence, so the principal structure setback requirement applies, which is 20 feet. As for why it's connected, is there's a requirement that a carriage house and a primary residence have a 10-foot separation between the two. So with that 5-foot setback, the 10-foot separation, the applicant was only able, would have only been able to construct a carriage house that was 7 feet in width if they were disconnected from the primary residence. As for the surrounding context, staff did a site visit and found that there were other examples of carriage houses which had similar or less than 5-foot setbacks. In orange, these are the examples that staff found within the location. Also, there are examples of accessory structures with similar setbacks, but staff only looked at carriage houses, residential accessory structures specifically. There are examples of garages and sheds with similar configurations. So staff was in agreement with the recommendation request from HPC and found that there would be no, that there's no special privilege granted and that there are special conditions on the lot, particularly that it is a corner lot and it does not have access to a rear yard lane, which is generally typical in this kind of configuration. And again, staff also found similar examples and configurations within the context, which is the reasoning for the recommendation. So the staff recommendation would be approval to reduce the minimum rear yard setback from 20 feet to 5 feet to construct a two-story carriage house connected to the primary residence on the property located at 202 East 38th Street. In addition, staff did receive some public comment. We received 5 letters in favor and 1 letter against.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would a petitioner please come forward?
Yes, hi, my name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. First, I'd like to thank staff for their review and recommendation of this project. And just a couple of things to reiterate, but we don't think that this building pattern is atypical of the neighborhood, especially historically. And there, as you saw in the Sanborn, there actually was a two-story wood frame building almost in this exact location on this property historically. And as mentioned, we have approved COA and there are 5 letters of support for this project. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Anyone online? Okay. Well, then we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Motion that we grant petitioner's request.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? All right, Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is approved. And lastly, we're going to hear the petition of 2305 Whitaker Street. A side yard setback variance request 23-000646.
That's what I got on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petition before you is a request for a 1 foot 6 inch side yard setback variance from the 3 foot side yard setback requirement to construct a new duplex and carriage house located at 2305 Whitaker Street. This property is in the TN2 traditional neighborhood zoning classification. Have some technical difficulties, but this map highlights the subject property pinned here on Whitaker between Barnard and, I'm sorry, Howard and Whitaker, near the intersection with 39th Street. In 2022, in October, the Historic Preservation Commission approved a variance recommendation to this body regarding the side yard setback variance when this structure was going under review for a certificate of occupancy. They found that the historic development pattern was being maintained by the proposed location of the structures, and they were similar in nature to existing structures on the block face in terms of scale and ones that existed historically. There was a structure on the property historically. This is a copy of a 1955 Sanborn map that included a structure and an accessory structure on the site in a similar location to the proposed development. The requested variances would apply to both lot lines on the property for the proposed duplex. And in review of the development pattern in the neighborhood, it is typical in this area where many of the structures predate zoning to have encroachments into the side yard setback. This is a sketch provided by the applicant of the proposed duplex and the proposed accessory building or carriage house. In review of the criteria for rezoning, staff did find that the variance, if approved, would not likely be detrimental to the community at large. As I mentioned, it's very similar to the both the existing pattern and the homes that were historically on the site. And although we found that special conditions are not really present that are specific to the subject parcel, there is a clear pattern in the block face that the proposed variances are consistent with. We did also find that the literal interpretation of the regulations would deprive the right, the applicant of rights enjoyed by other property owners in the area due to the existing pattern and the fact that it is not uncommon to see the types of encroachments that are proposed with this variance and that the variance would be the minimum that would accommodate the approved building design. Although an alternative design could fit within the required setbacks, it may be less compatible with the historic development pattern. Based on those findings, staff is recommending approval of the 1 foot 6 inch side yard setback variance and the 3 foot side yard setback requirement for both side property lines of 2305 Whitaker. I should mention also for the record, and there are some letters attached to your agenda, there were some letters that staff received from neighboring property owners in opposition to the proposed variances.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Conan,
please. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good morning.
Is there any, when you make your recommendations, is there any consideration in terms of, for example, fire safety? You know, when I drove by, the house to the left that exists is pretty much on the property line. So my concern is always that when you build houses so close together, mm-hmm. right, that there's a practical aspect to the thing.
Right.
How do you paint the inside of these houses? You know, how do you repair siding and so on and so forth?
Right.
Because ladders won't get up there. Is that part of your consideration, or you're not allowed to take that into consideration?
Well, I would say this, Mr. Condon, in that it is not part of the variance criteria. However, from a practical matter, those things do come into our consideration. We understand that there's a number of processes and which are involved, as you know, with building a house, some of which we are, you know, have purview over, some of which we don't. So, for example, regarding the emergency services aspect of this, that is part of the building permit review, as you know, and should the fire department, for example, find issue with that, you know, that can be brought up. And I think they're the appropriate body to make determinations as to whether that works. If it doesn't, then it's the applicant's responsibility to address their concerns. If there are certain things that they have to do to accommodate emergency services, whether it be firewalls or what have you, I know that that takes place during sort of a separate part of this whole process that MPC does not have purview over, but we do consider, you know, those issues.
Any other questions for staff? Mr. Turner?
Yeah, when I was trying to review the opposition letters last night, I wasn't able to get them to open. Was there any clear reasons in their letters that described why they were in, they were opposed?
Let's see if there's any issue with this. I may have to.
Yeah.
I want to be able to show you those. I'm going to go to another location where I think I've got those. I want to say.
Yeah. And I have Adobe. You can get it open.
There we go. Yeah. So here is the first letter that was provided, and I'll just read it into the record. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me earlier regarding the lot at 2305 Whitaker Street. My neighbors and I are pleased that you're recommending that this variance be denied. And that was, I should mention that this item was continued from a previous meeting before, you know, we received new information. Nonetheless, I wanted to reiterate my concerns as part of the record. As I said, I own and live in one of the adjacent properties that will be directly affected by this project. I have a fence that runs the length of my side of the property line and can't conceive how two-story buildings could possibly be built 1.5 feet away. The property on the other side of 2305 Whitaker also has a fence running the back third or more of their property line. It does not seem physically possible to safely build anything with only 18 inches of space on either side. Such a limited setback also leaves no room for appropriate stormwater runoff on either side. It also seems too close for fire safety purposes. While any new construction may be built with newer fire-resistant materials, the neighboring properties are not. In addition to my concerns as a neighboring property owner, I'm also dismayed by the precedent that this variance would bolster in the neighborhood, maximizing land use in a way designed to create more high-priced student housing and short-term rentals benefits only out-of-town investors and adds nothing to long-term fabric for which the streetcar district is historically known. When I purchased my property at 2301 Whitaker Street more than 20 years ago, the original single-family house was still standing next door at 2305 Whitaker. Unfortunately, the city eventually tore it down and has been a vacant lot ever since. I always figured that it would be built on again one day, but thought it was safe to assume that whatever went in would have a similar footprint to the original property. It never would have occurred to me at the time that I would be dealing with the construction of an apartment building 1.5 feet from my property, as opposed to welcoming another single family structure as my neighbor. In summation, I vehemently oppose any reduction to a side setback on this lot. The zoning that is already in place of 3 feet for the property line is plenty close enough. Additionally, I would encourage the MPC to consider the impact that a project like this has on my neighborhood going forward and do anything it can to encourage owner-occupied new development that is more modest in scale. And this is from Adrian Dickerson, 2301 Whitaker Street.
I think so. Mr. Turner,
we see the other one?
I'm sorry.
The letter.
Yes, I'm going to pull up the other one. I was wanted to see if there was any questions.
That one
So this one reads, per our conversation on the phone, we are the neighbor when facing the property adjacent on the left-hand side of the subject property. We strongly disagree with our neighbor's 1.5-foot variance on our property line. This would set a precedence that which we do not feel is healthy for the neighborhood. In the event of an emergency, fire and medical, 1.5 feet is not enough room to maneuver around the home. In order to do construction maintenance on the home, they will have to encroach upon our property. It's as if you'd be providing them an easement onto our land. The only way they can access their property is from our land. We do not feel that this is a reasonable request. Another big issue will be water displaced onto our property. The drip line for the roof will probably be on the property line, which will result in much on the water going onto our property. Even with the allowable 3-foot setback, this could be problematic for our property. We encourage you to uphold the current setback of 3 feet. I think this would be best for the design and well-being of the neighborhood. And this is Todd Severson. And let me see what the address is. I think it was here. Which is a adjacent property owner.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record? Petitioner here.
Is anybody online? He's online. He's online.
He's online. Are you there?
I am here.
You have anything you'd like to say?
This is James Wilbin. I'm the architect of record, representing the owner, Keith Lind. A couple things that were said in those letters, stating that we were setting a precedence. We're not setting any precedence because the historic buildings that are there across the street are already that close. And we had long discussions with Leah over at the Historic Review Board going down the road with this project as to, you know, what would be appropriate. And we went out there and actually measured. So we're not creating anything that's not already there. That's the only reason why the Historic Review Board recommended approval for this variance. So, you know, we've tried to be diligent and not overstep any boundaries that aren't in that particular neighborhood on that particular street. So as y'all are well aware, every time you turn a corner, there's something a little bit more different. So we're doing something on Duffy. It wouldn't have worked. But on this particular street in that particular neighborhood, we're doing what historically has already been done. When it comes to addressing, fire issues, we are required by permitting to, use fire rated walls, fire-rated openings such as windows and doors, and that is something that it's already in the drawings. So we're well aware of that issue, and there are homes that are closer than this in different neighborhoods, and they're been maintained for over 100 years. So that's the only thing I can say to those letters. And again, we worked hand in hand with the Historic Review Board trying to make sure that we weren't going to extend ourselves further than it should be for this particular lot. And we would ask for approval.
Thank you very much, sir. Any other questions for the applicant? All right. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? If you will, ma'am, come forward and state your name for the record.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Adrienne Dickerson. It's my letter that you just heard. I live directly next door. I purchased my property 22 years ago, I believe. I am on the north side of the property. I have the double lot that encompasses 2301 and 2303. You also heard a letter from Mr. Severson, who owns the property on the other side of this lot at 2307. First of all, I'm completely blindsided today because a month ago, staff had recommended that this be denied. So I'm fairly agog that out of nowhere, I'm being told that it's subject for approval. I kind of thought that me being here today was not even really so necessary because I had written a letter and been told that it was probably going to not pass. This is for new construction. This isn't about what is there or there might be some buildings in the neighborhood that are closer than the 3 feet from the property line, but this is new construction. And I would ask that you uphold the uphold the zoning that is currently in place. I mean, like I said in the letter, I have a fence that runs the entire length of the property line on my side. And the other neighbor has, you know, he has a fence as well. How on earth are you going to build these two giant structures 18 inches from the property line? How is that safe? How is that going to be possible? How is that not going to just make our lives awful? And it also, it's just about putting 7 more bedrooms on this tiny little lot. I mean, even if it weren't, they weren't asking for a variance on the side setbacks, I would still be opposed to the scale of this project. I don't know. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I feel like my letter kind of said it all. But I haven't heard anything about water runoff, stormwater runoff. How is the water going to run off the roof? And it's only, you know, I mean, the house is only 18 inches from the property line. So where does the roof line go? I haven't seen any kind of addressing of that issue at all. And as far as the fire safety issue, I mean, the new houses might be built with all, you know, new fire safe materials, but my house was built around 1890. You know, I don't have fire safe materials in my house. So, and I'm pretty sure the one on the other side doesn't either. Anyway, that I'm just surprised because I thought that staff agreed with me.
Thank you. Anyone else, member of the public, like to speak?
I'd like to speak briefly.
Okay.
Dennis Cove, just make a few points that she didn't make. Okay. You know, she bought this property.
Sir, say your name into the microphone, please.
Oh, sorry. I didn't understand you. Dennis Goldbaugh. And I've been watching this situation for a long time. When Adrian bought this property, she bought it intending to live in it. She bought this property without a net. The property in the past, I mean, she had no safety net. She invested basically her life into this property. The house that she moved into had previously been condemned. A local contractor had brought it up to the point where it didn't have to be torn down. Subsequently, briefly, another couple had the house. I think they gave up on it. She bought this house because she loved the house. She wanted to restore this house. And because it had been condemned, she had to start from scratch. She had to meet every code. Everything she did had to be by current codes in an historic house. I don't understand why new construction doesn't meet the current codes. She had to meet them. She lives in this house. She spent that's her life. So I've been around the block a little bit. I used to work for the county. I spent 30 years as a county arborist. So I've been helping her get some native trees going, some native azaleas. She's done a lot for this place. And she's not asking much. She's just asking that the rules be followed. And she is a long-term resident and taxpayer. And the folks that are coming next door are speculators, clear and simple. They're there to make money. They're not going to live in the house. So we just ask you that you follow the rules that were set in place. That's all we're asking. And I thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Can I make one more comment?
Yes, sure.
Again, I'm Adrienne Dickerson. I was at the meeting of the Historic Board of Review, and it was my understanding that what they actually asked for was for the architects to go back to the drawing block and to come up with a different proposal. My recollection was that that was not, that the 1.5-foot setbacks were not blanketly approved. My recollection is that they asked them to come up with at least some sort of a compromise.
Do you recall when that was? Last month's meeting, the month before?
No, this was supposed to be on last month's meeting, so this would have been back in... February, maybe? January or February? I'm sorry. I don't
Thank you.
Remember.
No, no worries.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public would like to speak? Go ahead.
Hey there. My name is Monica Gaylock, and I've been working with KPL and Keithland now in my 8th year. And I know Dennis. And I just wanted to come up and speak on them. On their behalf, that on the behalf of Mr. Lynn KPL, who owns this property, that we too know how difficult it is to come into that area. We had to we purchased 2313 Whitaker, which was also derelict and caving in on itself, and it was a 2-year historic tax credit project. That was hell. it was, you know, there were multiple homeless people in and out of it, living under it, living inside of it. It was hazardous. And it was also built, and historically, you are correct, historically, that one was built close to the other buildings. But we want to say, as far as us being some entity that's out of town, we have 41 buildings in Savannah. We have done multiple renovations. We've done multiple, we purchase typically, we come in and then we rent them. The tenants are screened. We have a full-time maintenance. We have full-time property managers. And we are very interested in taking care of our neighbors. We have many properties that are also very close. We're very cognizant of that and have done our best to be the best neighbors we can. And I guess that's all I have. I do know that some attention has been made to the overhang of the house and that they were adding gutters to the building. I don't personally have... construction involvement with the construction of the property, but I do know that those things have been addressed.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Any other members of the public that would like to speak? Are there any online? Okay. I can't remember the petitioner's name, but are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to address public comment?
Yeah. Just to address the overhang and the drip lines, as Ms. Gaylock mentioned, the Historic Review Board wanted us to reduce our overhangs, and we did that. And we've also discussed using gutters and downspouts to create less drip line, so because it would be so close to that property line. So we've done all of those things. As far as the project ever being told it needed to go back to the drawing board, that was not a thing. We've had multiple meetings with Leah. We've had multiple meetings with everybody over there to make sure that this was going to fit the neighborhood. That's why it got approved, and that's why they recommended the approval of this in variance as well. So we're not trying to step on anybody's toes, but this building will get built. And to make it more feasible and functional inside is why we're asking for this variance, because we need that a little bit of extra space, and it's fitting with the neighborhood, with the historic buildings in the neighborhood. So it's not like it's a bunch of new stuff that they've been building too close. This is actually what's been in that neighborhood for a century or more. So that's all I got to say in response to that. And again, we hope that you all approve it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're entering the board discussion now. Mr. Plunk, anything you'd like to say?
I had a question for staff.
Go ahead.
First, actually, because it's become kind of a point of contention, could you speak to the new information that came in that I guess flipped staff from denial to approval?
Well, one of the things we did, I wouldn't say that it was necessarily new information that was provided by the applicant. What it was is a further discussion with historic preservation staff about the review board's recommendation. So we got into a lot more detail about why they recommended approval of the variance. And the reasoning had to do a lot with both the historic pattern that was on this property and historic development pattern in the neighborhood as it relates to setbacks, which we did not do initially. So we felt like, you know, with us as sort of non-preservation people, when we bring variance requests like this to this board, we're usually trying to create some kind of balance between protecting the historic development pattern versus, you know, what we think about just a sort of a general variance that could be anywhere in Savannah and what the impact of that might be. So in historic districts, we do, I think it's fair to say, give a lot of consideration to the impact it may have because it's within a historic district in terms of the pattern.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes, please. I know that 100 years ago, people built houses on property lines or within a foot or two of property lines and so on. And that was prior to zoning and whatever. And I know that years, literally years, was spent coming up with NUZO to practically develop infill parcels and so on, or rebuild where something has been taken down and what have you, to fit the model of those particular neighborhoods. To me, a foot and a half off the property line, that's crazy. I don't see any practical way to maintain a property when you're, you know, 18 inches off the property line. And the so from my perspective, 3 feet, I think gives you, I mean, we're talking about a 27-foot wide house on a 30-foot lot. That doesn't make any sense to me. Thank you.
Mr. Turner.
No comment.
All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we reject the applicant's application for variance.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to deny the request for a variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is denied. Seeing that there is no other business, we call this meeting adjourned.